HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, so today we're joined by Joanna Murphy. Joanna is Chief Executive of TaxBack. Joanna, you're very welcome to the HR Headquarters podcast.
Great to be here, Declan. Thanks very much for the invitation. Looking forward to having a chat with you about all things well-being and otherwise.
Brilliant. Yeah. Do you want to just give us a little intro on yourself about TaxBack and about financial well-being or what you guys do in that sphere?
Sure. So I suppose the traditional business, TaxBack, is, you know, it's a 25-year-old plus business. And, you know, our business model was based on really tax reclamation. In other words, helping individuals to reclaim overpaid taxes. And that isn't just an Irish phenomenon. It's actually international. And most individuals wouldn't really appreciate that in general, they actually overpay tax. And so, you know, our business is built on helping people to get refunds, quite kind of as simply as that. I'm the chief executive of the organization, and we have offices all over the world that help individuals in that way to reclaim tax. But I suppose things shifted a little bit around COVID, not just in Ireland, but everywhere and kind of all at the same time. Yeah, so I suppose whilst we're all dealing with the new reality of COVID and what that meant in terms of everyone returning to home and lockdowns internationally, one of the things that nobody was considering was the fact that it might have actually a taxation implication. So that's our business, right? And so I suppose in Ireland, a lot of people found themselves on the pandemic unemployment payment. Many people found themselves perhaps with a spouse or partner who was receiving, or a child that was receiving, the pandemic unemployment payment. Employers are being supported through the temporary wage subsidy scheme. And all of those things, because they're brought in a hurried way by government with best intention, had implications for individuals. And so what happened during the course of COVID was that we had been dealing with companies for a long time who then started to come to us and ask TaxBack, look, you know, we have some tax uncertainty here. Can you help us? Can you come in to our organization and review our employees individually to see if, first of all, I suppose they're tax compliant? Because people, you know, in our experience, they worry about being tax compliant, and that is important. And secondly, just to help them to understand what their tax affairs is. So I suppose that for us was the catalyst for something that is now, you know, in common parlance, well-being in general, but more specifically financial well-being. And we can see now, in, you know, 2 years since COVID, that it is a topic that's under discussion from, you know, most of the big employers and permeating all the way through SME. Is about, it's not just okay anymore in terms of well-being to give your staff, you know, a yoga class in Zoom or a fruit basket on a Monday, that actually that has really evolved, and that employees really want, the demand and require much more meaningful intervention by their employers to help them understand what it means to be financially safe, I suppose.
Yeah, it's interesting how it's shifted. I mean, well-being is such a broad term. In terms of just digging a little bit deeper into it, let's take from the organization's point of view, first of all, what's the benefit to an organization embarking on a financial well-being journey or including it in their overall well-being strategy?
I suppose there's a couple of strands to that. I mean, if you start from, you know, what we're reading about the great resignation and the difficulty for employers in attracting good talent, the drought in terms of, you know, the employee pool that businesses need to scale. This is a really impactful way to demonstrate as an employer that actually the benefits of working with the organization are beyond your salary, are beyond your remuneration. I suppose it goes all the way back to Maslow, right? To the hierarchy of needs. And right, I suppose from the talent perspective, that's a very important thing. But secondly, there is an onus of responsibility, I think, on employers, especially given that employees are going to be working in a hybrid way, to include and to make employees realize and feel that employers actually do care about their financial position. And, you know, finance is one of those things that's a common thread to every employee. Everybody worries about money. Everybody worries about bills. And if there's ways that the employer can support the employee to navigate that kind of fiscal journey, then they should do so. And it isn't terribly difficult to do it.
And from an overview point of view, Joanna, what does a good financial well-being program look like?
I mean, there'll be the usual topics such as, for example, you know, your pension, healthcare, all that sort of thing. But tax is a very important aspect to that. And like I've said, like there's a couple of outcomes from a tax perspective. Most people get a sense of well-being from knowing that they are square with the revenue commissioner and that they don't have to fear the harp on the brown envelope coming in the door. And that does give people that sense of comfort. And I suppose it could even extend to being able to provide information on mortgages, etc. You know, the really big ticket items. I mean, as people enter the workforce, you know, post education, they're going to be dealing with things at a particular level. So, for example, if you took somebody at the age of 25, you'd probably struggle to find a 25-year-old that would understand how they would get a mortgage, for example, that they might not realise what the Irish Credit Bureau is. What happens if I don't pay my phone bill? What happens to me in terms of how I'm graded on the ICB and how will that affect me in the future? So there is a piece around education, financial education, so that people that are entry level in the workforce can understand their journey as they go through life. And at the other end of that, you know, demographically, if you're to pick the age group perhaps over 50 or late 40s to over 50, you'll find that their priorities and the areas of importance have changed. They might be dealing with, for example, a loved one that's in an elder care facility, that's in a nursing home, and the cost associated with that. They may have had teenagers, first of all, that have gone through the whole, you know, everybody wants American teeth, straight teeth cost. And, you know, the financial and tax implications of that. And I guess, you know, you can have perhaps even in a slightly younger demographic, issues around fertility, IVF. There's a whole plethora and swathe of different tax reliefs that people can claim back that they don't realise. And one of the things, and very often this conversation happens at a time in people's life that's kind of sensitive or where they have a lot to consider, such as the example with somebody in a nursing home. That is a really traumatic, stressful time for a family. And typically you might have that it's shared between siblings in terms of responsibility. Nobody wants to talk about the aspect of cost. And they have to talk about it, right? But many of those people wouldn't realize, for example, that in terms of the tax implications or the tax refund implications of that, that can be shared amongst siblings. You know, communication is king, and it's really important to have those conversations. So I suppose from our perspective, we like to support the employer to bring people from the very earliest stage all the way through their employment career.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Joanna. Just before I'm going to ask you obviously how you work with employers and how the process works, if you like. Just before that, companies at some point decide that they want to engage with someone like yourselves. How does that typically come about? Is it employee driven? Is it someone having a light bulb moment within the organization, or what's been your observations?
I think maybe it's a twin track. It is certainly top down, insofar as you'll probably struggle to find an employer that hasn't engaged in the general topic of well-being. And that would be, of course, physical well-being, emotional well-being when it comes to, you know, matters of mental health. And then I suppose this is the third leg of the stool, which is the financial well-being. So you'll find that many employers and companies are really trying to find ways to support their employees for all the reasons that we discussed. But similarly, it could be that you have individuals who have benefited from the expertise and our own, I suppose, in-depth understanding of tax affairs, and that they themselves are taking it to their employers to say, you know, this would be an interesting thing to roll out. You'd find that a lot of people that work, for example, in the HR function are really open to this area and willing to develop it. I think the whole topic of well-being is here to stay. It's evolving all the time. And the more that we're working desperately, the more it's needed to pull us closer together, because we don't have those kind of water cooler chats anymore. Or if we do, we're just starting to. And it's a way, I suppose, of demonstrating to employees that there is a need and a want to be inclusive and to understand people's challenges.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question from a talent retention or acquisition point of view that there's a positive thing there. So I ring up TaxBack. I'm an organization and I want to explore this. How does the process work with working with you guys?
Sure. So, I mean, what we do is we engage with the employers, and what we provide is what we call a tax review service. So that means that the employer engages tax back for typically it's a year. We look at 1 year of tax for those particular employees. When we look at the individual's tax affairs, we can then have the option to go back to year two, three, and four. But it's a tax review service. So, for example, with you, Declan, we would take a look at all of your tax affairs, your incomings, your outgoings. We'd be able to let you know about all the various reliefs that you possibly aren't claiming, because most people don't. And we would, in a third of cases, be advising you that there is a tax refund. And in the vast majority of the other cases, we'd be telling you, look, Declan, you don't owe the tax man anything, and neither does he, she, or you anything, which is also a good thing. And in the rare situation where somebody may have a tax liability, which isn't typical with a PAYE employee, we would even help them to legitimately manage that.
So would it be fair to say that most organizations would engage with their employees and say, hey, we have this service available, and then the individual employee would talk to you guys, Joanna?
Yeah, that's right. So we would together with the employer, we would plan a communication strategy. We would let all of the employees know in the organization that TaxBack is providing the service for them. It is a private and confidential. It isn't shared with the employer, even though the employer is the person who has contracted us to help their employees. And I suppose it gives employees the opportunity to ask hard questions in a really private setting. So there may be things, very many things, that people would not like their employer to know or discuss for privacy reasons. And they have the opportunity, because, of course, we would provide them with their own individual account manager, for them to posit questions, to inquire what if or what, if, you know, and it gives them that sort of safe space. And normally we would find that people come away feeling much better about themselves, feeling they've taken an action, that they understood their tax affairs, that they planned for it. And it tends to be a win-win for the employer and for the employee, and indeed for TaxBack.
What's the common things that people are unaware of, Joanna? I mean, the one I am aware of and I still do nothing about it is medical expenses. I know there's, you know, tax relief on that sort of stuff. What are the common sort of pieces that what's the low-hanging fruit for most employees?
You're right. Medical expenses is the big ticket one. I mean, I've spoken to you about IVF treatment, for example, elder care facilities, dental treatment, and there are literally hundreds of reliefs. There are reliefs for working remotely. There is concessions you can make on utility bills. We're listening in the media for, you know, the last number of months about inflationary pressures, cost of living, energy costs. A lot of those can, there are offsets, taxation offsets that can be planned for. And the really nice thing about the service, I suppose, is that it doesn't rely on you, Declan, to know what they are. We will ask you, do you have you been? And so we ask, like, you know, probing questions, not necessarily because we're all that curious, but because we know that there's a taxation implication in all of that. So it's up to us to make sure that you are, dealt with from a taxation perspective as holistically as possible.
And in terms of uptake, Joanna, is there a typical percentage of employees who engage when a company makes this service available? Or, yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, supposing you had an organization that employed 500 people, we would suggest to that employer that they first of all contract with TaxBack for 400, and then we'll see how we go. And if you wanted to add more to that, then obviously that opportunity exists or it's available. So one of the really big catalysts, what we're finding is the early adopters in the organization, the employees that go and do the review early and get a refund, tend to be our very best advocates, because, of course, they're telling everyone,
yeah,
hey,
of course, yeah,
your tax back.
Yeah.
And then everybody wants to do it.
Yeah, so that it's sort of spreads like wildfire once someone gets a nice check.
There's nothing like an internal champion. Absolutely right. Yeah, and like, you know, that is our average refund is €1,000, and it can be many times bigger than that. It really depends on people's personal circumstances, but our average is €1,000, and that's a nice weekend away.
Absolutely.
And nobody, you know, and the other thing that we would always say is, like, this is your money. It's been left there, and it shouldn't be. You're entitled to it. It has been overpaid, and it is absolutely appropriate that you'd want to get any overpaid taxes back.
And when you're engaging with the company, is the contract between you and the company, or are you and the employee, or how does that side of it work?
Yeah, there's two sides to it. I mean, the very first engagement is with the employer, and that gives TaxBack the opening to speak with their employees. And then The second part is where the employee says to us, hey, you know, thanks very much for doing year one of my taxes. Can you please look at year two, three, and four? We'd like you to look at that also.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's with the individual then at that stage.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. And from, I mean, we touched on a few things there around medical expenses and the other sort of low hanging fruit, et cetera. In terms of more complex tax situations, like you mentioned elder care and multiple siblings and tax like that, you'll advise employees, will you, on all of those sort of things as well?
Yeah, I mean, all of our tax people are fully tax qualified up to a CPA level. So there is no circumstance that's too complex. I mean, you might have someone that might have a rental property. You could have someone, for example, that had been bequeathed some property, you know, in the event of someone having passed away. Everybody's tax affairs is unique, and very often it is complex. Some people, for example, may have one partner or spouse that's self-employed, and they may be jointly assessed. There's all sorts of complication around tax, and it is very difficult to navigate, and really nobody wants to do it because they're busy enough in their own lives. So I suppose that sort of relief of being able to speak to someone who is expert and who understands and is able to ask those open questions, it tends to be really well received, and it's a relief in general that people feel like, okay, well, at least that's one more thing done. It's another sort of box ticked, if you like.
Absolutely. And I think you referred to Maslow's hierarchy of needs earlier. I think this is about sort of that basic safety element, albeit in a financial rather than a, you know, a line attack and meet style away.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's our new Maslow. But I suppose one of the things that seems to be well written about even post-COVID is that, you know, the level of anxiety in general in the population has really increased. And I mean, we hear a lot about that from a mental health perspective. But one of the really big triggers for, and I suppose maybe it's coming from a sense of general geopolitical instability, that people are worried for their future. They feel unsafe. And this is a way to be able to settle them a little bit, even in this sort of narrow frame. But it is about making sure that you're financially safe and that you're planning for the future. Tax is a big, big important piece of that. But you don't expect individuals, of course, to have the requisite knowledge, nor should they have. But it's always a good idea to plan. And even the planning aspect of it gives people that measure of comfort, even if they haven't actualized it, but that they're planning for it. Everybody, ultimately, most people will want to have a mortgage. Ultimately, everybody's parents will age. Ultimately, children will leave. They will go to college. There will be expenses accordingly. And this is sort of in general, these are things that people have to deal with in their life. And so anything we can do to make that easier, then we're entirely delighted to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, it's about taking action, isn't it? And doing something positive.
Taking action. Yeah, and that's a difficult one because people generally like to put these things on the long finger. I mean, none of us are any different to that. But, you know, even just, you know, to outsource it is an action, and it will be valuable.
Agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Last question for me. Obviously, the changing dynamics, as you referred to earlier, Joanna, of COVID and you know, work-life balance and where we're working and all that sort of thing. I mean, both of us are working from home today as we chatted just before we started. Does that impact, I know there's existing tax reliefs, if I'm not mistaken, for people working from home. Does the changing or upcoming potential changes to legislation, right to request to work from home, et cetera, does that change things from a tax perspective?
Obviously, tax legislation is fluid and it's always changing and it's always been updated. And so, you know, we keep a very close eye on changes. But this hybrid model, I think we can probably all agree that this is here to stay. And that's probably a good thing, as you've said, Declan, from a work-life perspective, from a work-life balance perspective. But it does have taxation implications. And right now, there are benefits and reliefs available for working from home. And we would argue that they should be strengthened, that they should be more. And I think it probably will, because sometimes, obviously, it takes time for legislation to catch up with the reality and the actuality of people working from home. So from a tax back perspective, we would continue to lobby that, you know, there are, I mean, utility bills for people that are working from home are a big consideration, particularly in the winter months, you know, and it sounds great on the one hand that you're able to work from home and you have that access to, you know, your work-life balance. But on the other hand, you've got your heat on, you have your Wi-Fi on, you have your lights on, and that's expensive. And you could argue that perhaps, you know, disproportionately employers are benefiting from the cost association being, you know, shouldered on the employee. So, yes, there are tax implications. Yes, there are reliefs available. There should be more. And I think there will be eventually. But that's kind of a fluid conversation. I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of that. We'll always have to be advocating for more.
Think we'll have to leave that one for someone else. There's certainly not my remit to suggest on that one, Joanna. You'd be far better placed to have that argument.
Well, I suppose, I mean, our perspective is that we're here to support the taxpayer. TaxBack is all about the taxpayer, the individual person, and so anything we can do to help individuals and, of course, organisations to navigate the complex area tax, and that's what we want to do.
Excellent. Joanna is Chief Executive of TaxBack. Joanna, how do organizations get in contact with you if they would wish to do so?
Just get on our website, taxback.com, and we have a team of people that'll be ready to assist and to provide all sorts of information, even at a high level, should anybody be interested in understanding more about this topic of financial well-being, or even specifically down to their own individual tax affairs.
Thanks, Joanna.
Thanks so much, Jacqueline. Appreciate it.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.